Welcome. It's good to have you here. It's good to be here. It's springtime, although it doesn't feel like that. Apparently, my father told me last night they had a few drops of rain in Windhoek, so hopefully it will be an early raining season for us here in Namibia, and that can only be a blessing. So we look forward to that. It's so beautiful, you know, when everything just converges and those points just come together, and there's an opportunity for us to just go. I actually, in the Afrikaans and the English services, I wanted to tell Quinton, who did the offering to us this morning, I just wanted to say to him, just continue preaching. You've got the word in your heart already. And then after the first church service, because what I'm doing now is I'm sharing the same message that we had in the Afrikaans, and it's not always exactly where we can duplicate and make a copy of the first church service. But you see, it was so precious when Richard told me that he's got a word, and then he shared his word, and it was basically John 3:16 about love and about brokenness. Quinton this morning just sharing about not as much about money or finances, but basically the areas where we really needed healing. And then after coffee time, I was speaking to Bruna. She said she's got exactly the same scripture, and she took out her phone and showed me. And I just love that. Just love that part of God where we all, in a sense, live in different houses and doesn't necessarily day-to-day speak to each other, but that God is saying the same thing to us. And during the past few weeks, and I even believe in the year, there were many mornings at intercession that God has laid his hand, especially in this area of marriages, family, our children, that he's speaking to us about, apologies, in that area, and that he really wants to minister to us. On the past few Wednesdays, when we didn't have a small group, but came together as a church to fellowship, to worship, to pray together, it was so beautiful, the repenting and people standing in a gap for others. And basically, the thing about marriage and family were so clearly one of the messages we got and something we definitely prayed about. And I believe it's something that's not from the United Nations or the Namibian government. Marriage belonged to God. Families from God, husbands and wives and children, the way we relate to each other, that's from God. And this morning I'm going to speak a little bit, just to basically maybe introduction about healing, but especially in our families and the need in that area. So I'm not going to minister on the role of the husband and the role of the father and that children should submit and to their parents. Those things are important. But when I talk about healing, you know, there's so much healing that we specifically need in our families. Can I have an amen? Yes, we need an amen in that area. You know, so many times you will hear someone say something, you know, or in a moment of truth they will share, you know, where a parent, maybe a teacher, I remember Derek Puffett were a few weeks or a month or two ago here, and he shared about, you know, at primary school how he battled to speak and how hard the teachers were on him. You know, I've heard so many stories where, you know, someone spoke early in a child's life and said, you will never make it. You will never become something. You will never be anybody. Maybe somewhere in a moment of anger or some, you know, parent will say to a child or from one parent to another, you know, and the child will hear that you were a mistake. We actually never wanted you. You know, you were an accident or anything like that. You shouldn't be here. You'll never make a difference. Or you're illegitimate. Now, those things, those are the things that bring such a deep wound in the spirit and in the life of any person. You know, I've had a family member of mine, and I know that specific story when, you know, they were just children, and you know, they did something naughty, and then the school principal, you know, said to that young boy, you know, you will never be anything. And many times that's where that seed is planted of performance. You know, performance and perfection, where we just want to perform so great and try and prove ourselves valid. Try and prove to society that we can do it, you know. But it's because of a hurt. It's because of a wound where someone spoke over your life and said, you will never become something, you know. And we need so much healing in that area. Now, I just love all the confirmation of Quinton and Richard and speaking to Bruna just now. But you know, early in the week I started and I'm reading on this topic right now, and I enjoy it so much. And I remember Friday morning, Christine Young just sent me an SMS and she said, you know, she's reading this book about healing as well. It seems, as I said, that God is really speaking to us into this area. And she said, the more she reads and the more she understands, the greater passion she has that, to see people to be restored and to be renewed, and all the wounds that we have, that we can deal with it. Because I know there's about 70 people sitting in front of me right now, different ages, different sexes, different life stories, different families. And if I were to ask just by experience, who of you are broken, who of you are hurt, who of you have issues, not a lot will raise their hands, and it's fine. You don't have to do it now. It's between you and God. But I know in my heart, you know, there's a lot of hurt in our lives. Not just the world out there, that big bad world we're always talking about, but right here in church. And God really wants to do healing in our lives. Monday afternoon, actually at Monday, they leave. My wife also at school holiday, sitting there busy with one of my hobbies at home. Then a good friend of mine phoned me, asked him, how are you? And he said, no, not so well. And I said, what's wrong? Good friend, I know him more than a decade, said to me, his wife cheated on him. You know, she had an affair with another man, and guy basically just broke down and into tears, and I could really see he's down. He's really hurt. He didn't see this coming. You know, and in the past week, whether it was early morning or late at night, I had the opportunity to minister to him, to talk to him, and to say, listen, for the sake of your kids, for so many things you have to try and forgive and walk this road, and this is not what the message is about. But I just thought once again, God, you've got such a sense of humor. Here I'm reading a book, Healing Through Deliverance, and God, you give me a practical example why I were many, many hours on the phone this week. Praise God for things like WhatsApp call and stuff like that, where we can cheaply phone to South Africa. But you see, I just saw that wound in his heart through this devastation, you know, through what happened there. And I see later in the week, we were talking here on Friday, and he said to me, but you know, the people looking after his children during the day, they complain now about this and that. And I know where that come from. That's children that's insecure right now. That's children who saw their mom and dad fight. Children that's really not sure what will happen. Because when we are young children, we need that security. Children need that place of safety. And I'm trusting for a miracle there. I'm trusting for a miracle. And I can see how God is working in their hearts and how they really try to keep on for dear life. But it's not easy. That's just the example of one thing I had to, by God's grace, it was so precious when he found me as a friend. We don't talk that often, but to speak life and to share the word and to scripture. Because many times when we're at a place like that, all the pride and all the world and all the things get set aside a little bit. And we're a little bit or a lot more open for what God wants to do in our lives. You know, so when we talk about families and we turn to scripture, you know, we see there the perfect family created by God himself right there in Genesis. But we see very soon that this family got broken up in a sense. They were at this intimate place walking with God there in the Garden of Eden. And I always think, you know, I like it to sit and think. Some of us like to do a lot of things. I like to sit and think sometimes. And I think, I wonder what it must have looked like. And you can let your thoughts go. And, well, we will never exactly know, I guess, except if God shows it to us in eternity. But you see, through sin and through disobedience, man gave an open door to the enemy to come into their lives. And it's not very long after Adam and Eve basically sinned and they broke the covenant and sin came into the world. We read it here in Romans chapter 5. It will be up there right now. Romans chapter 5, you can read it. Basically, it just says that, listen, through the sin of that first people of Adam and Eve, sin came into the world. And I'm very, very sure that all of us can raise our hands and that we can say we've except for the fact that we have all sinned somewhere, we all were on the receiving end of someone else's sin. You know, life is so hard, you know. You read in the newspaper, someone get killed in a motor accident, and it was because of the sin of the other person. Driving 180 with a lot of alcohol or liquor in their body, making a mistake, and someone dies. It's so unfair. When a father or a mother basically sin, as in the example I've just shared, and they open the door. Because one thing I can tell you, if we put that welcome mat there for the enemy, he will use it. God is slow to anger. God doesn't instantly just punish us and write us off if we sin and get things wrong. But if we just open the door a very small bit, or beskrefi in Afrikaans, and only that little bit, he will use that opportunity. Because he so hates us, you know. The devil will use anything in his capacity because he knows very well what happened at Calvary, you know, and the defeat he basically got there. And he will do anything to steal, kill, and destroy, and to kill us in the natural as soon as possible. Because the sooner we get killed, the less time there is for reconciliation with Jesus Christ, for us to be born again. And that the blood of Christ can heal us. And this time of the year, I usually get excited about October. Because in October, it's my spiritual birthday. It's that day in October when I said yes to Christ and I got born again and healed. Basically, the biggest healing we all receive. But for the church and for Christians, all of us, inside the church, we still need healing. When we come to Christ, everything isn't healed. If you've done any counseling, hey, Christians has got issues. Amen? You're with me? Okay? We walk with stuff in our hearts. And we see right there in Genesis, Adam and Eve broke covenant. There was a curse. And not long after that, their one son killed the other one. Cain killed Abel. Okay? A few chapters later in Genesis 7, God said, I regret making man. And he sends the flood. And no matter if you believe in the flood, or if you believe in what type of flood, and or you believe in Eve and Adam, or in the garden, it doesn't matter. But what you know and what my heart know is that we can bear witness to the consequences of sin in our lives and in our families. You know? And so many times, these sin and the effects of sin go from one generation to another. I've heard so many stories in my life, in church, as a Christian, where someone said, I despised my father for doing this or that. And when then that man becomes a grown-up, he does exactly the same. How does it work? I remember laying in my bed as a young boy, and I said to God, God, I will never do that sin again. I've done it a million times since then. I'm the only one who said to God, God, I will never. In my own limited ability, I guess, I just wanted to say, God, I'm going to try my best not to sin again, not to do this or that, okay? Just to fail once again, to fail and not to get it right, okay? There's consequences for our sin. And we need to understand, the moment we step out of God's covering, or if even in a family context, and as I said, we open that door, we don't step into neutral spiritual ground out there. It's ruled by Satan. Okay? Go and read it in Scripture. Adam and Eve gave him a legal place to basically to torment us. Okay? He gave a legal place to the devil to rule over the world. Okay? The whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. It's not my words, it's from Scripture. So we need to be honest with the damaging effects of sin and the authority that man basically gave to the devil. Now God the Father, praise God for God the Father and his Father's heart, you know, he's got a desire to see us restored. He, in our body, soul, in our spirit, in our whole dimension, our emotions. Many times, you know, if you've got a broken arm, you can go to a doctor and they will, maybe if you need an operation, they can heal it. And if you need stitches, they can help you with that. But you see, a lot of our wounds, a lot of our pain, a lot of our suffering, a lot of the things that make us lay awake at night is the thing here in our emotions, here in our inner being. Okay? And we need a lot of healing for that. And if there's one thing I want to tell you this morning is, you know, maybe I'll take a step back and just go. I remember at the private schools weekend, the sports weekends for the private schools in Namibia, the Invinduk end of May, you know, bring, you know, if you think back of your sports days, now Manfred, you think of pancakes and kids running around and societies and braaivleis vieren and shouting and singing songs and all those type of things. Maybe it's good memories, maybe it's bad, I don't know. But one thing I saw, and I remember that moment just then, back then, I didn't know I'm going to preach this sermon, but it just witnessed in my heart, you know, the young boys playing rugby, and every dad who played maybe sport, you just want to get on the field and be young again, and all the dads, you know, as we played on the side with this young children, you know, we're going to break our legs without tackles, anything, because you weigh 30 kgs more than way back then, and you think you're still, no, we don't believe in He-Man and Superman, but stuff like that, and you know, but anyway, these boys play hard. And when they are 7, 8, and 9 years old, you know, whether you like it or not, if you get a bump on your nose or to the leg, the snot and trane, ons huil, they cry, and then the dad or the coach go there and gives them a pat and says, it's okay, play on. And some of the parents give them a little bit of water, and quite often there needs to be a stoppage and just to pat someone there. But some of the parents are quite harsh and like, no, you stop your crying right now and you play on, be a man. You know? Yeah, that's the way, Saki. And then, you know, if you go and you look at the boys playing rugby 14 years, 15 years and older, yeah, they sit there as well sometimes with an ice brick, but there's no more crying. But there's pain, but there's no more crying. The young boys, they still cry, okay? The girls, they cry. But church, especially us men in my culture, we grow up many times, and in our teen years or sometimes, maybe you really fall in love with a girl, and I'm not going to talk about dating and these type of things today, but somehow your heart gets broken. And then because you need to be a man, you can't cry, and you don't deal with the wounds. Later in your life, you know, a lot of us have never seen our fathers cry. A lot of us whose fathers, our children, has never seen us cry because we're not supposed to cry. And the thing there that I just saw is so many times in life, we say we get wounds and hurt, but we say just go play on the game of life. Just continue, just play on. And there's no place to stop and to go to the doctor and to receive healing for whatever is happening in our lives. The things in our childhood, I listen to my children coming home and stuff happening at school, and hey, life is hard. Amen? Life is hard. There's a lot of stuff happening to our kids that happened to us as we were kids. Kids are rude. Kids are bullying. Kids are wonderful, but in the same sense, you know, we get hurt. You know, and you will know God has given us a natural ability, and not all of us have the same ability in that sense, but it's like a type of a spring. You can go through hurt or trauma, And there's an ability where you can bounce back and go on with life. But as with a type of elastic band or something, when that thing gets stretched too far, there's damage. That thing snap. And when it snap, it's ugly. Okay? And there's a lot of things that happen in our lives as we grow up. And those things snap sometimes more or less, or it just gets stretched real far. And there's wounds and there's stuff. Accidents, trauma, robberies, motor accidents, stuff that's not, you know, intentional. Those things can open the door to us to fear and to many things. I remember a boy as, you know, that one guy, you know, today he's a dentist. I remember he was so afraid of spiders for some reason. And what would the other boys do? Catch a spider and chase that guy all over the playing grounds, you know. Yeah, you laugh. Are you the guy who got chased, or were you the guy who chose? Not chose, who did the chasing, you know? But those things do damage to our hearts, church. And it's really God's heart to that we will receive healing. Now, I remember in Windhoek, after a week or two or three, I can't remember when we went, my daughter Ulrika, you know, after she was born and we went to church, it was one of the most amazing days of my life, because I remember we stood there, there was a few ladies standing there at the entrance of the door, or at the we entered into the church, and my wife walked in with Ulrika, and I remember one of the ladies said, "Ah, she looks just like the father." I thought, like, praise God, that's awesome. I love to hear that, you know. And we can see, you know, I've got something here in my hand. It's this little, you'll not be able to see it, but it looks like a pencil's point that I've broken off of a peso or something. It's there, it doesn't hurt. It's not, it's just there. My dad has got that same exact thing here on his left hand. I've got it here on my hand. I don't understand it. It's there. I probably inherited it from him. And it's wonderful when we look at our parents or grandparents and we can see, hey, that's dad's feet or dad's head or the legs, or, oh man, it's dad's feet or nose, or maybe it's not always so positive, you know. It's beautiful when we can see that. But you know what, church, that's not the only thing that we inherit from our parents. Scripture talks about generational curses, things that goes off down in our bloodlines. Because when we parent our children, you know, we basically, God entrusts them to us as parents to raise them. And when we willfully open the door to sin and persist in that sin, what happens? The children become vulnerable. Children become vulnerable to those spiritual things. And it has got a big effect on us. As I said before, whenever we open that welcome mat to the enemy, you will take that gap. You see, in so many times, I'm just so much on my knees praying for this friend and his wife and say, God, the devil will not take this victory. He's not going to break up that family. I can see the wounds. I can see the rejection. I can see so many things. I can see their parents even, how it hurts them, you know, seeing their own children going through such a traumatic time. And I'm praying and I'm saying, God, we want the victory. We want restoration. We want healing. And there came a time, I remember, I think it was Friday night at about 12 o'clock when I spoke to him and he was at the real low. And I said to him, I don't know what to tell you anymore, but I'm going to keep on praying for you because God knows. As long as you're alive, there's still time for God to work. There's still a moment where God's grace. And then here from Saturday onwards, I actually see his wife's, she was very confused, just how her heart is changing and how she's actually now saying yes for help. And I believe that's going to open the door for Christ to come in, that there will be a testimony, that there will be healing. So this morning, one of the things I want to actually do is just show us a few things. You see, I remember I was there at our brother Chris Collard one day with my Bucky and just talking about the car. And I said, man, I've got a lot of rust here on the bumper. You know, living in Swakop, we all know. I said to him, what do I do with this? How do I heal this? How do I fix it? And he said to me, well, just don't do one thing. Please don't just paint over the rust and think it's going to go away. It's not going to go away. It's going to keep on eating there. I've only been here 2.5 years. That's the truth. Can you just paint over rust and it will go away? It looks better, but no, it's going to be like a cancer there in the middle. You need to treat that thing with a deep treatment. Now, that's not my speciality, but you can't leave it and you can't just paint over that. So whenever we have wounds and hurts and stuff in our own lives, and we just paint over that, it's not going to go away. Many times we live on and we live on and we get performance driven and what type of things. We get hobbies and stuff that can take our focus away from the pain. But we need to go back. We need to allow God. One of the first things when you do counseling, you need to check, is this person here because he or she wants to get healed or just because someone forced him? You can't tell your wife, you must love me. She doesn't want to love you anymore and she wants to walk out. What do? You can pray, but if you walk out, you're going to walk out. Why? Because we've got a free will. And that is how life works. If you want to rub someone and someone gets hurt in the process, that's going to happen. We see it every day in the newspaper. Okay, so basically we can talk about fruits and the roots. And many times we will see things in our own lives, in our families. There's anger, there's so many things that we can talk about. And then we bring our agenda to God and we say, God, this bad fruit, please heal it. But actually, we must go to God and say, God, what's your agenda for me? What do you want to heal? Because now it's manifesting here in a certain area of our lives. You don't have self-discipline. Maybe you've got an eating disorder. I remember I prayed for a guy in Windhoek, and I remember he actually got delivered eventually through deliverance, but he couldn't get full. He just couldn't stop eating, you know? And for a normal mind in that specific area, it doesn't make sense. But to eat one chocolate after another, or listen to the guy, which I don't know, which Freddie spoke about, who just drank another drink and drink, you know? That issue is obviously self-control. But what's the root? God, just help me, give me self-control. No. Go down to the root. What happened down there in your life at a certain stage? What went wrong for the enemy to come in and for a stronghold to form that you cannot just break free from that thing? And you sit here and you look at me all very quiet this morning, you know? And I said earlier, I said to God, God, I will never do that thing again. And then I did it a few times, whatever. Praise God to be delivered from stuff. But the first thing about counseling and help is to come, go to someone in church, go to God and to say, God, I acknowledge I've got a problem. God, I acknowledge I need healing. God, there's something wrong. You know, you can tell your husband or your wife or your children, they can tell you even, you need to work on this, you need to work on this. Everyone can pray for you. But if you're not willing to take that step and say, okay, now I'm going to die. I'm going to give over this area. I'm going to go that someone can pray. And how many times it feels like dying when you have to tell someone, I battle with lust or I battle with this. It's so shameful. But we don't have to. Those things are nailed to the cross. There's healing for us. So God is really talking to us. And whenever we talk, you know, sometimes you know, we see aggressive reactions in people, rebellion or harshness, quarreling, self-rejection, you know, where there's a low self-esteem, you don't feel good about yourself, your self-image, inferiority, insecurities, and we try to hide those things to the best of our abilities that no one will see it. But it's not just going to go away. Time doesn't just bring healing. Okay, Jesus Christ brings healing. And we need to be honest with that. Because when we receive healing, we can testify and can say, there was something in my life that I couldn't fix myself. Jesus Christ came, he healed me. So I can testify. I can proclaim to the world that Christ heals. Alan, now you're here. The first service I was looking for you. I honor you, my friend, for your 4 or 5 minute testimony that's, I don't know who of you see it. It was one of the church WhatsApp groups. Just about the restoration and the healing God is doing in your life. And it takes a man to do that. It takes a small man. A humble man. Not a man that I am the man, you know. It takes someone who said, I couldn't fix it. Depression, whatever it is. But Jesus Christ can. And praise God for so many testimonies. Inside church, in other churches, in the kingdom of God, where we can see that God is healing. That God is healing. Because those consequences, the things that went wrong in that first marriage, Adam and Eve, I think Adam lived for 930 years. It's quite a long time. Scripture says he lived for a very long time. And I just think in my own little small mind, there must have been many times where they said to each other, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. No, you weren't there. No, you made me do it. No, you this and you know that. How we quarrel. You spent all our money. You took the fruit. No more fruit salad for us in this house for a long time. Okay? But that's where that thing came, and we still need to deal with that. self-rejection, depression, hopelessness. Sometimes, you know, we build our own defense mechanisms. You don't want someone to get too close to you because it hurts too much when that person walked out of your life, when that father or mother walked out of your life, when someone really failed you. Withdrawal, you know, self-righteousness, jealousy, emotional immaturity, those are the things that we will see. But we need to go to that fruit and say, God, why am I like this? Why do I act like that? Why is it that that's when someone just touches that thing, someone wants to jump here. Something inside of me wants to jump out and to really manifest. Okay? How does the enemy come into our lives? Well, I'm reading a book from Peter Horobin that's really blessing me so much, basically on the deliverance ministry. And he names 11 things that I will just quickly mention to you. He talks about that generational line. And basically it works like this, you know. If I have an umbrella here, and that's the covering of this family, a father and a dad, you know, a mom and a dad and the children, and they are here under the father as the strong man, the head of the house, if they are all safe under this covering, you know, in that covenant family, they will be safe. But when the father, through whatever sin, willfully open the door to the enemy to come in, it's like taking a needle and making a little hole in that umbrella. And then the people underneath that umbrella, that family, you know, they will become vulnerable to that specific sin of the father. Okay? They won't get wet of all the sins in the world. Okay, but specifically in that area which he is trespassing, that spiritual stuff, you know, we talk about soul ties, and our first soul ties, if we are children, are to our parents. And that can be beautiful, healthy soul ties, or it can be very unhealthy. So if you grew up in a very insecure, unhealthy, abusive type of environment with your parents, those soul ties going to go to you, and it's going to hurt you. It's going to do damage. But if there's love and honor and respect and the love of Christ in your house, you know, then that spring will be stronger. You will be able to take a little bit more later in your life. But if we as fathers open that door to the enemy to come in and we punch little holes through pornography or alcohol or cheating on our wives or whatever it might be, you know, that spiritual thing is going to have a generational line that's going to go from one generation to another. And that is where we need healing. That is where, you know, when I remember when I came to Christ, I remember, but I never thought about it, but in my family, there's three men with the same name, and they all got divorced. God, there must be something. We need to break that thing. We need to stop that thing. We need to say, Jesus Christ, we stop it here. Okay? Through personal sin, through the occult, you know, religious sin, if you abuse the fruits of the Spirit. No, so we're really working hard as a church to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. So hopefully none of you are abusing it at this stage. Ungodly soul ties, sexual sin, hurts, abuse, and rejection. Through trauma or accidents, you know, curses, inner vows. I read a book once about a story in Namibia and a family here. And if I remember correct, in the early 1940s, you need a license for all the dogs you had on the farm. Okay, and I remember this family had a dog too much, and the father had to kill the son's dog because there wasn't money for another license. And I remember he wrote in that book, and he said, from that day on, I never loved my father again. It's a hard thing to say. It's a hard thing to say. If you're in a marriage or something, and I say, I never loved you, or I'm so spite, you know, I married you or stuff. Those are arrows. Those are things that wound when we say that. When you say to a child, you are naughty and you will never become anything, you know, it's not just words. That's our bullets. That are arrows, you know. I wish I could speak to all the teachers in the world, you know. All of us make those mistakes where we sometimes can say stuff. You know, when I spoke to that friend of mine, when he said to me, but listen, he's really starting to get concerned about his oldest son, which is about 8 or 9 years old, 7 or 8 years old, his behavior. And I said to him, go to with your boy, go to the beach, buy him an ice cream, and then you pray over him. You as a parent can go to your children and you can apologize. You can say, the fight that mom and dad had right now, it wasn't godly. It wasn't a good thing. I'm sorry, please forgive me. And then you pray over that child's identity. Pray that he can at least just feel secure, that he will know that dad loves him so much, and whatever happens from here onwards, I'm going to be there. Because the moment children start to feel insecure, you know, that's where the enemy loves to come in. And that's where why he goes so much for marriages, because he gets the whole family. He gets an opportunity to destroy so much in the whole family. Inner vows. Whenever you say, I hate you, or I never love you, I will never love you again. Those are harsh things. That's where the enemy, which is very real, will come in. And you will become into bondage. Addictions, things like that. You know? Okay. So, I just want to check here. And then, yeah, it's so important that we treat So I want to encourage us as a church, you know, that we really listen to the Holy Spirit here, and that we ask, if you want to, that question, Lord, do I need healing in my life? Is there something from my years at school? Maybe you were in the military. Maybe you worked somewhere. Maybe a previous boss. Maybe a relationship you had, you know, because usually we want to put that thing in a small little box there somewhere, and we don't want to deal it because it's kind of painful. It's like eating broccoli. It's not always nice, okay? But you need to go there. You need to go to that box, okay? And we need to do that with that. But my experience in counseling is so many times that the Holy Spirit really need to help you with that exercise of bringing something to your attention and saying, Manfred, Molen, in this or that area, there's a problem. There's something you have to work on. And God knows. I remember in 2014, at the end of the year, you know, going down for a wedding, couple I had to marry in South Africa. But at the same time, I was looking so much forward to visit one of my friends in ministry because I needed help as well. Sometimes our wheels get flat. Sometimes they fall off. Sometimes stuff happen where we receive wounds even as Christians. I can ask you, who has got hurt in church or in small group or somewhere in a church environment or someone somewhere about a Christian hurt you? Yes, this side of salvation, we get issues as well. And we need to deal with those things. We need to say, God, because God wants us in this area of the body, the soul, and the spirit. He wants us healed. He wants us renewed. And I'm so grateful that I could go there and to receive healing. I want to read to us from Luke chapter 4, verse 17. I want to read it quickly. It will be there up on the board. That is the ministry of Jesus Christ. And we're going to end off just now in a few minutes with communion. Let me read it from there. Luke chapter 4, verse 17 to 19. Basically, where Jesus first time spoke there in the temple. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And it's so wonderful to know that Jesus Christ came on a mission, not just to save us and to die on that cross, but also that we could receive healing through the blood of Jesus Christ. In James chapter 5, verse 16, we read and it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." That you may be healed. You know, we need to talk to each other, husbands and wives, in a small group context. We need to come to each other and to say, "My friend, my brother, my sister, I've done that thing again. You need to pray for me." But you see, that's going to take a willful action on your behalf to say, "I need help. I'm in the red here. There's a problem developing." In 1 John 1 verse 9, we read, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Never ever, please, persist willfully in a sin. Okay? Be fast like King David to run to God and to say, God, I missed it. I got it wrong. Lord, please forgive me. Have a heart that is quick to repent. Because when we persist in sin, it's then when the enemy really, really gets his nails into us and we really become captives. From Peter Horobin, who's writing this book on healing and deliverance, there's a quote I want to start to end off with before we have communion. And he says, the key to deliverance is authority. The key to authority for fallen man is God's new covenant. The key to the new covenant is Jesus' victory over Satan at the cross. That is so beautiful. It's so powerful. But I want to ask you, don't try and fix yourself. Don't hope that time will heal. Don't think that your problems will just go away. Some of us have stuff that has happened, and we walk on and we walk on, and we hope we've dealt with it in a small manner. But God completely wants to heal. Amen for testimonies. Thanks again for Alan for sharing that message. Ask him about his testimony. That is the work that Jesus Christ wants to do in our hearts. So I want to ask the ushers to hand out the communion right now. And this morning, as we're going to take communion, you know, I've seen so many movies over the past few years where there's somewhere a scene where Jesus were crucified. And always looking at those scenes where Jesus is hanging there on a cross or before that, it's so painful to look at it because, I mean, no person wants to go through something like that. But Jesus was on a mission of love, as Richard shared right now, John 3:16, because He loved the world so much. So we're going to use communion, and I'll pray for us at the end. But you need to understand the authority that you have as a Christian in the blood of Christ. And that there's a loving church that's really giving a hand to any person in need. Okay? For some of you, there will be an opportunity to pray this morning, and hopefully you will receive healing. But many times it will be a process of restoration that might take weeks and months. My heart is just to encourage you this morning to become honest with God, to become honest with yourself, and not to just say, I'm perfect, no issues in this house. If there's pain, if there's strongholds, if there's stuff that's just recurring and recurring and you can't walk away from that, you need to come to Christ with that issue. So that is my prayer this morning. I'm just going to give us a moment, and I'm going to ask you to use the communion in your own time this morning. And as the worship team just play music, I really want to trust the Holy Spirit, because that's my prayer, that He will show you if there's stuff in your life. Maybe there's forgiveness on your part. Maybe someone else is in bondage. I want to encourage you to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit right now. I believe there was so much confirmation this morning about what He wants to do.